Today we read about another healing miracle done by Jesus. Yesterday we had a healing miracle, the healing of a deaf man with a speech impediment. Today's healing is a healing of a man with a withered right hand. Well, Jesus certainly did a lot of healing, and there's no doubt about that. Yesterday's healing was done in private, but with lots of visible, tangible gestures, touching and spitting and groaning and everything. Today's miracle is done in public, but with no gestures at all. All he says is, stretch out your hand. He doesn't even touch the man. And the man is healed. So you can see each case is unique. Now, when we think of healing or healing miracles or the whole need for healing, we tend to think of it in an individual sense. I'm sick. I ask the Lord to heal me. My loved one is sick, or someone on our prayer chain is sick. Lord, heal him or heal her. And when a person is healed, or when we ourselves are healed, we say, thank you, Lord. That's how it's supposed to work, we say. But sometimes the person we pray for doesn't get healed or not in the way we had in mind. And then our faith is put to the test. I think we can back up a little bit or get a bigger perspective if we try, because for every individual sick person and every individual request for a healing, there's a whole network of relationships and of circumstances that is way beyond our understanding. And this is always true. We're not aware of it, and we can't really know it all, but it's always true. So, for example, yesterday, the deaf man, he was brought to Jesus by some people, whoever they are. And then when he was cured, the news of his healing spread all over. And at the end of yesterday's gospel, remember, they were saying, this man has done everything well. And so Jesus' reputation was spreading because of that one healing, one among many. But it wasn't just one. It became good news for many, many people. In today's gospel, the man with the withered hand, yes, he's cured, but Jesus very deliberately does this cure, this healing, in front of everybody, especially in front of the scribes and the Pharisees who are resisting him. So it's, yes, a healing of one man, but it's also a revelation, even to the heart of heart, of what Jesus' mission is and who Jesus is. So we see it's a bigger picture, but then the more we reflect on it, the more we have to recognize for God, everything is part of the whole. There isn't any one thing that's not connected to everything else. It's all present for God in the now, and he's orchestrating it all in an extraordinary way. So my illness for a few days last week is connected to, the whole history of the world. And, you know, so-and-so's brother or so-and-so's daughter-in-law or whoever's on our prayer chain, that person's illness, we might not even know the person, but we hear about it, we pray for him or her, the spiritual interconnection is strengthened, and whatever happens, God is orchestrating a great work. Now, when I mention this, people will likely think of the modern awareness that the whole world is interconnected, because that is a modern understanding. It's a small world. It's a global village. Everybody's connected. And so we think of this in terms of manufacturing, for example, or food supply. If I buy a phone at the mall in Las Piñas, that phone didn't come from Las Piñas. Yeah, it was made in China. The parts were made in Middle East and South Africa and Malaysia, and there was some kind of central organization in Singapore, and the technology came from Korea, and all, maybe it was assembled in China, but then it was shipped to the Philippines and had to get through customs, and they called some guy in Germany to send some euros to pay off the guy at customs. And the more you look at what happened, how did I get that phone? Well, thousands of people were involved for me to get one phone. And you might have read about or heard about the disruptions in this global network due to the pandemic. No one can say, honestly can say, oh, I don't care what happens in Malaysia, or I don't care what happens in India, because if they get sick, it doesn't affect me. Yes, it does affect us. Even if we're not aware of the spiritual effect, something manufactured in India is not going to be available for something we want to buy in Las Piñas. And because the supply chain is broken down because the pandemic locked down the manufacturing in some other country, and the whole thing breaks down. So the reason I mention this is because we tend to think that, yes, global network, global village, everything's connected. And when it breaks down, it means that something went wrong. Well, we can't get our semiconductors, we can't get our plastics, we can't get our rubber tires or whatever because of such and such, and that's a problem. That's how we think of it. Sickness is a problem that has to be cured. No, every breakdown means something has gone wrong. That's not how God sees it. He's not constantly thinking about what's going wrong. He's constantly orchestrating for good in a way that is really mind-boggling. Now, the reason I mention this is not only because the miracle in today's gospel is clearly for more than the man himself, the man who's healed. It's clearly for the sake of the scribes and Pharisees, but also because in today's first reading, Paul talks about this mysterious interconnection. So I'll get to that in just a moment, but just sticking with the gospel for now, you see what is happening here. Jesus sees that these scribes and Pharisees have a real spiritual problem. And how can he cure them? Well, he uses, if I can use that term, he uses this man with the withered hand. Now, someone will say, well, what about that poor guy? His hand was withered for years. Is it just for the sake of these scribes and Pharisees? No, it's not that limited. The man with the withered hand, there was other factors going on in his personal life, in his family, in his village. But part of what God is doing here is using this one man's affliction for the good of others. Now, remember, the scribes and Pharisees here were trying to defend the law of God, the law of the Sabbath. Do not work on the Sabbath, which is God's law. But they had kind of hardened themselves so that work, even good work, was being restricted. Maybe they would have accepted a life and death case, and if someone's dying, you save their life. They might have accepted that, although that's not so clear. But this man with the withered hand, I mean, he's not going to die of it. So he could come tomorrow when it's not the Sabbath and get cured. He doesn't have to show up in the synagogue and disrupt the holy place and the Sabbath and attract a crowd and have all these violations of the law. So you can see the mindset of the scribes and Pharisees is narrow, but not without reason. The thing is, their mentality is withered. They've shrunk down to legalism, And that's what Jesus wants to cure. And the hardship of the man with the withered hand is the opportunity. So let's go to St. Paul in today's first reading. He says something that to us is always shocking. I rejoice in my sufferings for your sake. I rejoice in my sufferings for your sake. Rejoicing and suffering don't go together in our minds. How can we rejoice in suffering? Especially, how can we rejoice that my suffering is going to benefit somebody else? It shocks us out of our narrowness. We think, if I'm sick, if I'm suffering, I pray, God heals me. That's how it's supposed to work. We don't usually think, if I'm sick, it's for the benefit of somebody else. And that's how God thinks. I rejoice in my sufferings for your sake, and in my flesh I am filling up what is lacking in the afflictions of Christ on behalf of his body, which is the church. You see the big picture here that Paul is talking about? Christ is saving his whole body, the church. He's orchestrating a great healing. And he uses even things that to us look like terrible suffering. And they are terrible suffering. But if we can, with faith, see that suffering becomes part of God's plan instead of an obstacle to God's plan, well, then we can rejoice. I rejoice in my sufferings for your sake. He's not rejoicing because he's suffering. He's rejoicing because his sufferings can and do bear fruit for the good of others. He's leaping past his own personal suffering and looking at the bigger picture, seeing that God is using this for something much greater, and that's what gives him joy. Perhaps the man with the withered hand was not rejoicing that he had a withered hand. Why would he rejoice? But if he could see, and maybe in time as he prayed and reflected on what happened, if he could see that his withered hand healed in front of everybody became an opportunity for them to recognize Jesus as the Messiah, he could have said, well, it's a good thing I had a withered hand. It's a good thing I had that suffering because others could benefit from seeing Jesus at work. And he could rejoice. This is very challenging to us because suffering tends to make us narrow. It tends to make us think only about our problems or maybe about the problems of one other person. But today's readings are inviting us to look at things from God's perspective. God, who is doing something much greater and who's using even the worst things. The pandemic. What could be worse than a global pandemic? What could be worse than people locked down, out of work? People don't have food, they don't have... And then, people dying in isolation and... Well, we all know people who are sick. We know people who have died. We know people who have suffered great losses. How can this be good? We can hardly say it. But because we know God, because we know God is good, and we know that he's working out everything for good, our joy is not defeated even during a pandemic. We're invited to rejoice in our sufferings for the sake of the church, for the sake of others, knowing that God is taking this into account. This suffering, this little inconvenience, or this big problem is part of God's plan because he's absorbed it all into himself. That's why we keep looking at Jesus on the cross. What could be worse than killing God on a cross? Well, nothing could be worse. But he uses it for something better than anything else. It's the great reversal of evil, the great overcoming of all evil, all suffering, for a good that is beyond our imagination. Well, that's what we reflect on today. May the Lord give us light, open our ears, open our hearts, heal our withered spirits, so that we can rejoice in his goodness.